Today on the DML News Podcast, Denny and Ryan will be filling in for DML today, and we will be talking about rising gas prices, the push for EV vehicles, a canine dog that was killed by MS-13, and a study that shows that music is getting worse over time. We have this and more, and it's all unfiltered.
Dennis Michael Lynch gives you his word, and he will never let you down. He will always fight for America.
The only one who really puts his money where his mouth is Dennis Michael Lynch.
Hey, everybody. It's Denny here. We are filling in for DML today. Ryan is also here on the mic, and today is going to be a little bit of a shorter podcast. As a lot of you guys know, audience-wise and Team DML member-wise, we are in the midst of getting all of the DML CBD BOGO packages wrapped up, packaged up, and shipped out. Ashley is working feverishly on getting all your orders printed, answering any of your customer service questions. But we just do want to note that since this week has been a very busy week with trying to get those orders out, we just want to let you know that it is coming to you. You should expect to see your order either sometime later this week or the beginning of next week. But trust me, we have it all planned out, and we're working as hard as we can to make sure it's getting to you, which is why today's podcast will be a little bit on the shorter side. But we're going to just jump right into what we want to talk to today, which is gas prices. So, Ryan, I know you just filled up your car today, this morning, and I want to let you know that the reason you're probably frustrated is because, yes, gas prices are indeed going up again under Joe Biden. In fact, a new report shows that the nationwide average price for regular gas topped $3.54 a gallon. Now, that's just national average, which is a spike of more than 45% under President Joe Biden. In the past month, gas prices rose 20 cents, which is about $1 more expensive than when Trump left office. Now, this is very frustrating because most of us are driving gas-powered vehicles, although Mr. Buttigieg wants us all to be going to the EV market. And that's probably not going to happen. In fact, it's not happening because EV sales are down the drain. In fact, a lot of these dealerships are struggling with getting consumers even considering an EV, an electric vehicle. But he is trying to make the argument here that EVs are comparable to cell phones because we were all on landlines and then eventually we went into the age of cell phones. So here's a clip real quick of him mocking Americans who are resisting going the electrical vehicle route.
To be clear, consumers have wanted and purchased more EVs every single year than the year before. And, you know, Tesla is facing more competition as GM and Ford and Stellantis and other competitive players start to make sure they get a piece of the EV market. Let's be clear that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and we can't pretend otherwise. Sometimes when these debates happen, I feel like it's the early 2000s, and I'm talking to some people who think that we can just have landline phones forever. The reality is that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and the U.S. can either fall behind China or we can claim the lead. President Biden wants to make sure that those EVs are made in America, especially, again, as more Americans choose EVs every single year than the year before. We've got to make sure that those are made on American soil in places like Northern Indiana, where I grew up, places like Michigan, where I live right now. During the Trump administration, China was really able to build an advantage in the EV market, and obviously not because they're big environmentalists over in China, just because that's the economically smart play.
Ryan, I just want to say, right, I, like you and like everyone listening right now, are super frustrated with gas prices. I mean, when I got my truck, it was under when President Trump was president, and you know, I got it at a pretty good deal. And one of the reasons I went for that truck is because gas prices were fairly normal and fairly affordable. And now you're seeing the spike, and it's like every time I have to drive my truck, I just hate it. However, I am not going to ever trade in a gas-powered vehicle for an electric vehicle for so many reasons. Maybe do you want to state why you would or would not do the same?
Well, I just want to attack Buttigieg for a second.
Go for it.
his entire that entire video saying that the market is moving towards EVs. I mean, why is that? The government is forcing these car industry car manufacturers to go with the EV route. Mm-hmm. I think anyone, or I think if you look in the entire country, anyone who is willing or wanted an EV has already did it.
Yep.
And I don't, he's saying that it's increased. I'm pretty sure it's been decreasing the interest in EVs. I think he lied there.
He did.
But, you know, he mentions China. Why does China want it? China, I think, is, I don't know if I have my stats right, but it refines half of the world's lithium.
Yes.
So obviously China is going to want the car manufacturing industry to go towards EVs because they're making a fortune off of it. I mean, whenever we talk about these things, I feel like it always leads back to China.
Totally. Yeah.
But my thing is, it's just, you know, people don't want electric cars. The only reason why America is moving towards this because China is making a fortune off of it. And the United States government is, you know, putting pressure on these car manufacturers to go to EVs. And I don't think people want them at the end of the day. I'm pretty sure I don't know the statistic, but I'm pretty sure it's going down in interest and demand. And I think he's just flat out lying right there.
He is. He's trying to do a lot of propaganda pushing because, to your point, Biden wants it to be that by like 2030, way more than half of all Americans are driving some form of an EV. What they really always try to subtly not acknowledge is the fact that the manufacturing and even the implementation of these EVs are environmentally disastrous. I mean, you just mentioned about lithium and cobalt materials for the batteries. But the thing is, to get to the lithium and cobalt, you have to do mining. And if you actually look at some of the statistics, like I'm reading off of a Earth.org study, the amount of lithium mining is pretty equivalent to what we're doing now with fossil fuels when it comes to carbon dioxide emissions. Not to mention the fact that these mining operations aren't very well regulated overseas. And I don't know where the Buttigieg gets the idea that we're going to be doing this in the U.S. I mean, they're already outsourcing an incredible amount of our manufacturing as it is. So a lot of these places, whether it's in China or whether it's in one of these third world nations in Africa, the mining for lithium is disastrous for the environment itself. A lot of these toxic materials will actually end up flooding into river streams and water supplies. And then next thing you know, you got toxic water. Then when you talk about the actual implementation, these batteries are freaking heavy. And there was a study by Emission Analytics, which is a data an emissions data firm, that showed that the tire wear on EVs are actually releasing more chemical pollutants than regular fossil fuel powered vehicles. Mainly because these batteries are so heavy that, for example, when you're hitting the brake on your car, you're actually putting more tire wear than you would on a gas-powered vehicle. That tire wear releases chemicals. Next thing you know, you're actually releasing more toxic chemicals and disastrous things for the and pollutants for the environment than you would even in a regular gas-powered vehicle. But Buttigieg and the Biden administration don't like to acknowledge that.
You know, they don't like to acknowledge it, but the people that push it, like the everyday consumer, it's like you just got to look at them and be like, how stupid are you? Because like you just said, I think the mining of rare earth materials is 10 times worse than CO2 going in the air. And just the whole supply chain that goes into building an EV, just for at the end of the day, for the electric that goes into the car to be created by fossil fuels, it's a total joke.
It is,
in my opinion.
And before even moving on, just real quick, because I want to just stab Buttigieg's analogy here. He's trying to make the comparison from us all switching the landlines to cell phones. Well, you know, and talk about already an issue with how we make those cell phones. But if you want to go in concept here, the cell phone allows you to be almost anywhere as long as you have that satellite signal and be able to make a phone call as well as all the other functions that come with a smartphone compared to a landline, which obviously has to be based in a certain area. You can't make that analogy to EVs to gas powered when we have seen a host of issues with the EVs, batteries exploding, batteries freezing up if you're in a northern area and you get a winter deep freeze. The fact that you're limited on travel alone. I mean, my gosh, I have a friend who was one of the first to get a Tesla, and we're at the charging station and I'm sitting there for like 15 minutes already. It's just like, geez, you know, if we were driving a gas powered vehicle, we would already be on the road 10 minutes ago. So him making an analogy there is almost like a gaslighting of trying to say that there's an actual comparison when the truth is that it's not equitable whatsoever.
Stupid comparison.
Yeah. So as much as I don't want to deal with the craziness of gas prices right now, it will never allow me to go the EV route. But speaking of prices going up, a lot of fast food chains in California are bumping their prices because California just implemented the $20 an hour minimum wage law that they've been promoting. In fact, I know In-N-Out Burger just raised the prices on almost all of their items. Similar fast food chains are following the same strategy, but some are just going completely out of business. I have a clip here. The visual is not as important, and obviously today's audio only. So this is a news report of Foster's Freeze, which is a popular California fast food business, informing its employees the day after Easter that he's got to let them all go because of this new law. So here's that clip.
We had walked up and those close signs, that was it.
20 employees and the more were let go today because the owner says he could not afford to pay them with that increase. Now employees are upset, saying they were blindsided when coming into work. Fox 26 reporter Sophia Lesios explains why those employees were in disbelief. Sophia, what a surprise.
Yeah, Monty. Former employees tell me that at first they thought it was an April Fool's joke, but that quickly changed when their boss handed them their final check.
I was so caught off guard. We had no type of notice, no type of warning even. The owner had told me Happy Easter.
Employees at Foster Freeze in Lemoore say they're now out of a job.
We had gotten a text in the group chat that we were shutting down, and I completely thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Turns out he wasn't the only one.
Did you guys think that this was an April Fool's joke?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So I thought, like, you must be joking. You must be playing with me.
But this was no joke.
By the time I got here, there was people, like, in uniforms ready to start their day, not knowing that that would be their last check.
Monica Navarro, the former assistant manager, says when she got to the restaurant in the morning, the locks were being changed and employees were handed their final check.
I had walked in and he had just immediately was like, you guys are out of a job. Like, I'm sorry.
While we were there at the Foster Freeze restaurant, owner Lauren Wright was walking out. I tried to get a statement.
I think he's going to take off before we even get a chance to talk to him. Excuse me, Lauren.
But he quickly drove off. Moments later, I gave him a call.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
He did not answer, but did send a text saying in part, I couldn't survive the mandated wage increases. Last thing I ever wanted was to close down. But by Friday night, I knew I was most likely not going to be able to stay open, but I didn't want to ruin their Easter Sunday.
Right. This story with Foster's Freeze, I think, is going to be very representative of what we're going to see definitely across the food industry with California. I mean, look, the surface level, right? Oh, yeah, $20, you know, minimum wage, let's go. Oh, yeah, if you're the employee. But if you're the employer, you realize, okay, this is the death sentence of where I'm not going to be able to run my business no longer.
Yeah, the economy is, you know, there's pull and push. And at the end of the day, if you want to raise the wages on, you know, for employees, you got to cut costs somewhere else. Maybe what Trump did, become energy independent. If energy prices are back in Trump level, I bet you that business wouldn't have gone out. They would be able to pay their employees more money. But now everything is so expensive, and then they're going to throw this on top of restaurants. What was the name again?
Foster's Freeze.
Foster's Freeze. So you have to take one cost away to put another cost. If you just start throwing costs on these companies, they're not going to be able to stay afloat. And then, you know, in turn, they have to raise the prices on their food, and then the consumer is getting, it's a washout. You have to take away costs somewhere else. If you're like California, would need to take costs, maybe lower energy costs, so we can raise the cost on employees. You can't just bombard businesses with high costs all across the board. It's push and shove. Like you gotta lower something to increase something. You can't just do it all at once.
Right. And look, no win-win there, right? Because you got your employer who now is shutting down his business. And now these employees, they're not going to get the benefit of a $20 an hour, salary or job with this new minimum wage law. And instead, they are now unemployed. So to your point, there's a push and pull. And, with the cost of everything going up, this was just not going to be sustainable. And even businesses now, they're trying to, offset it with the higher food prices. Just watch. It's not going to be some sharp spike. Like even the In-N-Out burger example I used, it was just a few cents more. But let's see where those prices are in a month from now, mm-hmm. 2 months from now, 3 months from now. And then let's see in a year from now if they're even still in business.
That's an issue. If the prices go up, you'll have less customers. So it's that whole concept of, if you get 100 customers paying $10, but then you're getting 50 customers because you had to raise your prices to $14. You're not increasing profit. If anything, you're at a loss. So I think the Democrats don't understand the economy whatsoever.
No, they don't. They just like headlines and little pressers and little social media spikes to show that, oh, we're doing something for the working class. No, you're actually murdering the working class. With Democrats, we also know that they have been very much pro illegal immigration. And we know that with illegal immigration, we have seen increases in crime against citizens and police officers. In fact, if you're an avid listener of the show, you know how much we have delved into stories where innocent people, law officers have been killed by whether it's migrant crimes, or I should say illegal alien crimes, or even cartel members. A recent casualty of this is actually a dog. And as I'm basically recording this podcast with Ryan, I actually have my little guy, Robin, sitting with me right now. He's sleeping. And it pains me to even read this story because it's just representative of the fact that, that there are victims across the board on all species now regarding illegal immigration. This story is about a canine that worked with a specific unit in Virginia that was just killed by MS-13 members, and Nita reported on it, so I'm going to read it to you guys. Governor Glenn Youngkin from Virginia vows to hold a group of barbaric MS-13 members accountable for the killing of a canine protecting a correctional officer in a sudden prison attack in Virginia. Four inmates of the Sussex One State Prison, three of which have confirmed ties to the MS-13 gang, were involved in a prison attack that left a canine dead as it protected corrections officer Carmicia Phillip Fields at the scene. The Virginia governor wrote in a statement, "God bless Rivan," I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, "a heroic canine who was killed in the line of duty in Virginia. These barbaric members of MS-13 will be held accountable." The three inmates, who were all illegal aliens at the time they were arrested, repeatedly stabbed and kicked the dog during the horrific attack. The Virginia Department of Corrections shared a photo of Ravon on social media and wrote, "The VADOC is mourning the line of duty death of Ravon, a canine killed by MS-13 gang members while heroically protecting its assigned correction officer staff." And, I know it's audio only, but I'm looking at the photo of this dog, and, it's just a nice German Shepherd with his tongue wagging out, and it pains me, because when you're an animal or a dog, you're trained, obviously, and to protect your owner. And sometimes you just don't have a real semblance for, the violence or anything that's going on. And here's a dog just trying to do its duty, and it's stabbed and kicked to death by, again, people who shouldn't be here. It just pains my heart seeing something like this too.
Yeah. No dog, no person, creed, political background is safe in this country. And it pains me as much as it pains you.
Yeah. And just for a little more background on these guys, They were arrested on several charges, including shared amongst the four of them: first-degree homicide, attempted rape, kidnapping and abduction, malicious wounding, use of a firearm in commission of a felony, child pornography cases, grand larceny, and possession of a Schedule III drug. These people are literally...
should not
some,
be here.
They should not be here, and they're some of the worst of the worst. In fact, I think they're from El Salvador and Guatemala. So, you know, again, it's citizens, police officers, law enforcement, and now, you know, innocent animals that were just trying to do their job. So I feel for Ravon here, who was killed in the line of duty. It's a shame. Rye, another story I would like to touch on. deals with the trans craziness and how maybe more so than ever, it's definitely 100% a social contagion. This is from the Daily Mail, and it's tweeted by E. Miles Cheong. The vast majority of gender-confused or, quote, gender-questioning children grow out of it, according to a 15-year longitudinal study conducted in the Netherlands, which tracked more than 2,700 children from the age of 11 to their mid-20s. 11% of adolescents reported being unhappy with their gender. 19% who reported unhappiness as kids no longer expressed it as adults. So this study is basically confirming what we've all been pretty much saying for a very long time. This is a trend. This is a phase. I don't even like calling it a phase. You know, puberty is a phase. This is just a trend or a social contagion. It's a fad of, okay, this is what I see on social media by the likes of Dylan Mulvaney. And then as they start to mature and realize they want to go into their next stage of life, they realized, oh, I just cut off all my genitals and took a bunch of hormones that weren't meant for me. And now I've ruined my life forever. Doctor gets the benefit of it because they get money out of the surgery. Maybe my deluded parents get a little bit out of it because they get their 15 minutes of fame for an interview segment. But here I am with my life completely ruined.
Yeah, I think the issue is, you know, like you said, it is a social contagion. And the whole concept of it, I feel like it's cradled by people. Meaning, if you go to the doctor that benefits from such, they cradle it in the sense that they encourage it and say it's okay, instead of someone just telling them, like, okay, yeah, you were thinking this, but it's not really how it's going to be. You'll outgrow it. Instead, they cradle it, like, oh, maybe you should get this shot or you should get this surgery. And then if you go to your counselor at school now or your teacher, they encourage it. So there's no one really there to tell them and direct them, to tell them, hey, this, you know, you'll outgrow this feeling. But instead, they cradle it, they nurture it. And then these people 10 years down the line sit there and say, what the hell did I do?
Totally. And there's a great response tweet here I want to read to you. It comes from Trader Jill. It's definitely a social contagion. Kids think they're transformers and unicorns too, but we don't surgically implant horns or a fender on them. Kids, we were kids, and I know there's plenty that are listening that were kids at one point or even have kids. You know, it's probably the most imaginative time in your lifetime because you just, you know, whether it's play make pretend or you think you're playing soldier or you're playing, you know, house or you're playing, you know, just like you think you're a horse, you know, it's part of just like that mindset of just being creative and imaginative.
Yeah, I know I used to go around thinking I'm a pirate after watching Pirates of the Caribbean, and, you know, I don't have a teacher or mom and dad telling me, oh, you are actually really a pirate. So say, you know, flip it and say if I walk around in a tutu acting like I'm a girl, it's just play. It shouldn't be, like I said, nurtured. It shouldn't be, oh, maybe he is a girl, you know? It shouldn't be that way. It's just, you know, if I run around being a Power Ranger, I'm not a Power Ranger. I think that tweet was... hits the nail on the head.
I'm glad you used the pirate example. There's one of my favorite movies, Dodgeball. It was released in the early 2000s. And in the movie, there is a grown man as a character in the movie. And he believes that he is a pirate. I mean, this man is definitely like within his 40s. And the entire joke of the movie is like he talks like a pirate. He's dressed like a pirate. And eventually Vince Vaughn, he's the main character of Dodgeball, calls him out and is like, dude, you're not a pirate. And he like hits him. And then he shows up later in the movie completely shaven. He gets rid of the pirate costume and he speaks normally. And I think based on what we already know common sense wise and then this Netherlands study, you're going to just have a lot of people who have been fixated or tricked into this transgender BS that wake up one day or just told directly in such a critical way, hey, you were born a boy, you're not a woman, or vice versa. You were born a girl, you're not a man. And it's just going to hit them. But unlike this movie where you could just ditch the eye patch and the do-rag and all the other things that make you look like a pirate, you can't really get back what you cut off. You know, it's permanent. I really think we need more landmark studies like this, even though it should just be common sense at this point to just say, hey, you are not this. And you may think you are this, but you're going to hit a point in your life where this was the wrong move. So hopefully we can get more of that and not the media downplaying it. Right, I have one last story here that I want to kind of combine. It's actually about music. So there's a man named Aaron Lewis. He's a country rock singer and a lead vocalist for a band called Stained. And he spoke about how, you know, and I guess this relates to just overall culture here, that he's very pro-Trump, criticizes Biden. He's a big fan of the U.S. Constitution, and he has a core set of what he calls American values. And they've been trying to cancel him for a while now on the left. And he basically says, you know what, F you, like, I'm not going to be submitting to your cancellation. This follows after Zach Bryan. He's a new wave country star too. He just did a dedication to Jonathan Diller, the police officer that was killed by, you know, a freaking criminal with a rap sheet that can, you know, span the Bible. I think we need to see more of that where we have more artists, but it can't just be, you know, country artists too, but we need more artists to have more pro-American values, primarily because too, like, I don't know about you, but I think music today is kind of slacking, and there's even a study that kind of proves it. A recent study from Scientific Reports that spans over four decades shows that song lyrics have shown a statistical trend toward increased anger and self-centeredness. According to the study, researchers analyzed the lyrics of 12,000 English language songs released between 1980 and 2020. The study analyzed songs from various genres, including rap, country, pop, R&B, and rock. The researchers observed a general trend of simplification in lyrics over the years. They examined the emotions conveyed in the lyrics, the complexity of the vocabulary used, and the frequency of word repetition. The findings supported earlier research that indicated a decrease in positive and joyful lyrics over time, alongside an increase in expressions of anger, disgust, or sadness. The study also noted that rap music in particular has become more characterized by anger compared to the other genres. And I think that's interesting because, you know, you always hear older generations saying like, ah, your music today sucks. And don't get me wrong, there's some, you know, modern music that I'm definitely a fan of, no doubt. But like when we were spending our day on the pontoon on Easter and we were listening to kind of like some just classic rock songs, I think they're really like beyond just the lyrics. I think there is just a shift of how music today feels so artificial and just already pre-programmed and just kind of lacking life to it. Do you agree or do you disagree?
Yeah, I would say the shift in music is kind of parallel to the shift in the attitude of the people in this country. You know, what were the words? Sad, anger, disturbed,
self-centered.
So, you know, music is a way to portray portray yourself, not portray your feelings, perhaps. Like, it's artistic. So I think it is more of a societal change that is directly affecting the music we're listening to.
You know, I had run a poll earlier today regarding this study, and I tried to include like the top music genres as well as an other option in case it wasn't listed, asking people, you know, what's your favorite genre of music? And the top three were country, rock and roll, and other, based on not listed. So I had checked through the comments, and I feel bad because I didn't list this, but a lot of people said Christian music, you know, just like, and gospel, you know, things with like a little bit of like a religious theme to it. And I think that's a good point because, you know, those are categories of music where I think there are more positive, influential, and inspiring lyrical content compared to like something like pop, which is just, you know, it's almost like fast food, you know, just artificial. You get a little dose of it and you realize it doesn't sit with you, you know?
Yeah, those songs are designed to make money. And then like the Christian music is more for the message of it.
Yeah.
So there's a different driving factor behind.
Even the length of how music, you know, in decades past, you would get sometimes 6-7 minute long songs, yeah, because like, you know, it was, I don't know, impactful. And now today it's all like almost like TikTok bites. Like you can't even get a song that's over like 3 minutes.
Like, yeah. I said, I feel like the attitude of our society now is influencing what type of music we're getting. And then if you want to go down the length part, our attention spans is so short. So yeah, they're like, there's no point in making 7 minute songs anymore. Let's put out these, you know, there's some songs that are a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah. It's like, again, like little fast food bites that just don't carry any weight compared to like some of the classics.
No one has the attention anymore to sit through an 8 minute song.
Yeah. Oh, this makes me want to go to like a country concert. Maybe we'll go to Zach.
I'm not a fan of concerts.
Not a concert guy?
No.
Well, those aren't all too much the same anymore either. I feel like concerts back in the day were a lot more fun. Now you go to one and you got to worry about like something like Astroworld where people are getting killed. It's different day and age and different music. All right, that's all I have for the stories today, which means that we're going to have to finish up and get back to CBD packaging.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining today. Sorry it was a short one and audio only. Not sure what our plan will be for tomorrow's podcast, but I can tell you that next week we'll get back to regular programming once all the CBD orders are shipped out. So thank you guys for tuning in today. And, you know, God bless the country. God bless the troops. And for today's Team DML blessing, I would like to give it to Debbie Hobson. So thank you guys and have a great day.
Get the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast every day by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for breaking news, merchandise, films, exclusive content, and Team DML.